You know, the Bible is a doctrinal book. A lot of just great doctrines in the Word of God. One time, a pastor, a friend of mine, a fellow said he wasn't coming back to his church anymore because he preached too much doctrine. Well, what is there else to preach than the doctrines of the Bible? I mean, what do you might as well fold up the close up the doors, lock up the and go home, because that's what the Bible's full of, doctrine. One of the great doctrines of the Word of God is the doctrine of heaven. It's become more precious to me in these last few years, I guess, and any time in my life. And I just love that thought. It just seems like heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. And people are going there, and I just love the truth of heaven. So I want to preach today on heaven, and I want to preach on what Jesus wants you to do in a practical way concerning the doctrine of heaven. This is what Jesus wants you to do about the doctrine of heaven in 2019, okay? This is what he wants you to do with the doctrine of heaven. In a practical way. Now, you know, the word heaven appears in the Bible many different times. There are three heavens in the Bible. There's what we call the atmospheric heaven. That's the sky, the clouds, and so forth that we see every day. And then there's the stellar heaven. That's the stars. We don't see those until night. And the stars and beyond, you have the moon and all the planets and so forth. That's the stellar heavens. And then there is the word that is used for God's dwelling place. Heaven is God's habitation. And so I want us to look at this verse of scripture this morning. And I want you to see the practical application of this verse of scripture. And it's talking about heaven. And I want you to see the practical application of this verse of scripture, these verses of scripture, to your life and to my life. Let's note, first of all, what that practical application is. That practical application is not describing heaven. It's not the description of heaven that these verses are about. He's not describing heaven. John does that at other places in the Bible. John, the great writer of the book of John, the Gospel of John, First John, First John, Second, Third John, and Revelation. You know, he describes heaven in the Word of God, and he tells us some things positive about it. He says it's a place of tremendous beauty. If you love beauty, you don't want to miss out in heaven. It's God's perfection of beauty. And, you know, he says it's a beautiful place. You go to Revelation 21, you can find out all of those things. And then he says it's also a place of great size. In Revelation chapter 21, he says that it's a place of where the Word of God says it's got all kinds of description there. Revelation 21, it's four square, verse 16. And its breadth and length and breadth is, and he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. So it's that's the size. Now we can't identify with furlongs, but if we put that in miles, it'd be about 1,600 miles. So it's a city that would stretch from Boston, Massachusetts, all the way to Miami. It'd be a city that would stretch from Washington D.C. clear to Denver, and then 1,600 miles on top of that. Pretty good sized city. You know, and God says that that's what it's going to be like. Hey, there's room in heaven for you. Someone said that if every mansion in heaven was 50 by 50 by 10, there'd be a room for 15 trillion mansions. So, you know, there's a place, you could have a place in heaven. You could have a mansion in heaven if you really wanted it. Jesus is preparing those mansions for people to get who get saved. And so then we see it's a place of not only great size and great beauty, it's a place of great streets. The Bible says there in the book of Revelation that the streets were of gold. You know, that means no deterioration. Boy, I tell you what, this time of the year, man, there's potholes out there, isn't there? You know, I remember when I was being raised out in Washington State, we used to call those potholes chuck holes. And I don't know what you call them here. But we call them chuck holes. And one time I was preaching, I said, there's no chuck holes up in heaven. Streets of gold. And a guy came up after the service and said, Brother Gilmore, I really appreciate your message. But he said, I want you to know you're wrong at one point. I said, what's that? He said, there's going to be a chuck hole in heaven. He says, my name's Chuck Hole and I'm saved. I tell you what, I don't ever say that anymore. There's no Chuck Holes in heaven, because I know one Chuck Hole. He's saved. He's going to be there, you know. I've never met anybody named Pothole. Yeah, but maybe I will, and I won't be able to say there's no potholes. But anyway, it's wonderful when you think about the streets of heaven, pure gold, pure gold. Got so much gold up there, they paved the streets. And there'll be no road crew. Sorry if you work in the road crew. But you know what? You'll have something else to do up there if you're saved, you know? And then the Bible says concerning not only the streets, but the light of the city. What a glorious place of light it's going to be. Jesus is going to be the light of that city. He's the light of the world. And he'll be the light of that city. I was in a home one time having dinner, my family and I, and this fellow had a rock collection. And I've never been into collecting rocks. You know, a lot of people have different hobbies. I like model trains, but, you know, I'm not into rocks. But he had these, he said, would you like to see my most beautiful rock? Would you like to see my rock collection? And I said, sure. I didn't really want to, but, you know, I thought, I don't want to. You know, spoil the day for this guy or anything. But so I went downstairs, and there he had these rocks out there. And he showed me. And he said, would you like to see my most beautiful rocks? I said, yeah, I'd like to see those, because these were ugly I was looking at. You know, I didn't say that to him. But anyway, he took me to this room, and he showed me these are my most beautiful rocks. And I thought, wow. And inside I said, boy, they look as ugly as the ones out there. I can't see how they're just more beautiful than the ones out there. And then he said, now wait a minute. He said, I got to turn a special light on them. And he turned this special kind of light. Maybe some of you would know what that is. And I want to shine on those rocks. And oh, did those rocks become gloriously beautiful. And you know what makes heaven so beautiful is the light of the city. It's Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory of God. And it's going to be glorious light, say. And so I love to. And then the music. Oh, it's going to be a place of great music. I love music. I sure appreciate your choir this morning. Boy, that was good. And the special music. I love that song those girls sang, because that was a song that my wife and I, we went to a retreat. First time we were ever together, we went to this youth retreat. And that was our theme song. Oh, what a wonderful day, you know. And so I love music. I really do. And I can't wait for the great Singspiration in the sky. I don't know if you have Singspirations. I feel sorry people don't know what a Singspiration is, never been to Singspiration. I went to seminary, and after every Sunday night service, we'd have about 200 young people get together in a room and have a fireplace there and you know, chairs, and we just sing. We just sang for an hour and a half, just sang. And I tell you something, it just lifted my soul to heaven. And it was so wonderful. I love Singspiration. I can't wait for that great Singspiration around the throne of God. Talks about the 14 different groups there and around that throne of God. And, you know, everybody up there is going to have a great voice. I love to sing. I don't have the greatest voice. One time a guy said to me, he said, Brother Gilmore, you got a mellow voice. I was so encouraged. Man, I thought, oh, that's the first time anybody's ever complimented me on my voice. And I went home to look up the word mellow. You know what the word mellow means? Slightly overripe with a tendency to be rotten. So I realized that wasn't such a great compliment, you know. But in heaven, everybody's going to have a golden throat. We're going to sing. And, you know, when we come to singing the song Redemption, the angels are going to have to fold their wings, because they don't know the joy of being redeemed. And the angels are going to sit back at aghast, and their mouths are going to drop. As all God's people been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ are just going to sing with all their might. And I love singing. And boy, the greatest thing in all of the world is congregational singing. You folks did a good job this morning, but you know, you could still do a lot better. But you know, anyway, you know, why don't people sing? Oh, I sound awful, you know. And the only time I sound good singing is when I'm in a shower or something like that. But you know, up there we're going to have a golden throat. Oh, but that's not what he's talking about here. That's not the practical application. That's a description of it, but that's not the practical application of the doctrine of heaven. But notice something else. It's not also the restriction. It's not talking about the restriction. These verses of Scripture are not talking about the restriction here of the doctrine of heaven. You see, not everybody's going to heaven. Wish everybody would. You know, everybody can. You can go to heaven. Jesus died for you. He wants you in heaven. That's what the Bible says. But not everybody's talking about heaven's going there. You know, a lot of people think they're going to heaven because they work a good works or live good life, but that's not how you get to heaven. You know, if that were so, Jesus wouldn't have to die. He wouldn't have to come. Right. Say, if your good works could take away your sin or some religious practice could take away your sin, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But there's no other way you could be saved other than the blood of Jesus. And so he's not talking about the restriction of heaven. The Bible does say not everybody's going to heaven. It's very plain. John 3:3, except you be born again, you can't go there. Got to be born again. Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the context there is the name of Jesus. Only through his shed blood can you get to heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, the Bible says, one day the disciples came to him after Jesus had sent them out, and they were working miracles. They were healing people. They were seeing people raised from the dead. The disciples had marvelous power there in the early days of the book of Acts. And they came back, and they're just rejoicing at all the things they've been seeing. And the Bible says, Jesus said, don't rejoice over the powers that you've seen, the miracles you've seen. Rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. You know, part of being ready for the devil's onslaughts as a Christian daily, and you're in a battle, Christian, he's coming after you all the time. And part of being able to resist him is you put the helmet of salvation on. Every day, put that. That doesn't mean you get saved again. You're saved once. It'll last forever. But it means you just put the helmet of salvation is, which is, what is that? That's, praise God, my name's written down, the Lamb's book of life. You see, that's putting the helmet on. Your joy is that your name, it's not the weather is a joy, it's not your job, your joy, it's not your health, your joy, it's not your possession, your joy, it's your name is written down, the Lamb's book of life. I was in a revival meeting not too long ago, and a lady came. Well, I gave the invitation. How many of you know that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life? And many folks did raise their hand. But there was one lady who couldn't raise that hand. And then I said, how many of you would like to know that? And that lady raised her hand. She said, yes, I'd like to know. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And I gave the invitation. The lady came down the aisle. And she wanted to know. Her name was written down. My wife took her to a quiet place, opened up the Bible, and showed her right from the Bible how she could know her name was written down in the Lamb's book of life. And you know what? That lady went home knowing that her name was written in the Lamb's book of life. Not hoping or thinking, maybe, but knowing it. And she went home and came back to the revival meeting that next night. And I gave the invitation. How many of you know that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life? And I saw that lady, and I looked to see what she was going to do. And she lifted her hand high. She knew that her name was written in the Lamb's book of life. Do you know it? Do you know it, my friend? Oh, I tell you something. You need to know it. You can know it. Praise God. But you know, that's not the purpose of these verses here. That's not the practical application of the doctrine of heaven here that you need in your life. And let's see what these verses talk about. What are these verses talking about? How can you apply the doctrine of heaven to your life? How does Jesus want you to do it? Well, number one, Jesus wants you to do what and know what God wants you to know. What does God want you to know? He wants you to know you're saved. He wants you to know you're going to heaven, you see. That's what he wants you to know. I was in a town one time, and there was a lady that, I was by myself. Normally I travel with my family, my trailer, but I was by myself this particular meeting. I don't know exactly. It must have been the winter time, and I don't take the trailer out until, you know, usually around the 1st of March. And so I was there, and I was staying in a motel, and I don't like to stay there, but, you know, I had no other choice. Well, you got a nice prophet's chamber down here. That's really nice. And it's a lot better than a motel. Praise God. I don't like motels. You know, honestly, it just rubs me the wrong way. But anyway, you know, I if I got to stay there, I'm not going to complain and gripe about it. You know, I just, but it's not my choice, you know. So I'm staying in this motel, and I meet the preacher for breakfast at Bob Evans. It's a breakfast place. I don't know if you know. My favorite is Cracker Barrel. That's my favorite. I love breakfast. It's my favorite meal. And so we met with this pastor, and a friend of mine we gone to school with was on his staff, and we met. We're having breakfast there, and we're talking about the Lord. We're talking about the meetings, and all of a sudden this couple comes over towards us, total strangers, and says, are you guys preachers? And we said, yeah. And the pastor spoke up and said, I'm a pastor of Trinity Baptist Church here in Ohio. I forget what town it was. But anyway, he says, I'm a pastor here, and we'd like to invite you to meet. Well, this couple had come down from Michigan, and they were on their way to Dayton, Ohio, for a ham convention. Now, not the eating kind of ham, okay? I'm talking about a ham, ham radios and a big convention like that. And this lady said, you know what? My husband's going to go to this convention, but I want to come to your church. I mean, total stranger. I didn't even know her. You know, I mean, she didn't know the pastor. And where's your church at? Well, told her where the church was. And I thought to myself, you know, we all kind of thought, well, she'll probably not show up. You know, you hear people say, I'll go to church. You know, I'm coming to your church. And they never show. I guess that was a lack of faith on our part. But anyway, you know, I got up to preach, and there was that lady sitting right out, and she had come towards the front. She was sitting right, and I preached that morning, and I was led of the Spirit of God to preach on how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And I'll tell you, I preached that message and gave the invitation, told about Jesus and what Jesus could do and how he can give you eternal life. You just put your trust in him. He'll give you eternal life, forgiveness of all your sin. And that lady slipped out the invitation. She came down the aisle, met the pastor. Pastor got his wife, took her side, opened up how she could know what God wanted her to know. God wanted her to know. God wants you to know you're saved. Saved. And you know, you can know it. 1 John 5:13, these things are written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, so you know that you have eternal life. And you know, that lady put her trust in Christ as her Savior. And she wrote a letter back to the pastor after she went back to Michigan. And the pastor sent me a copy of the letter. I got it in my files. And she sent in the letter, she said, you know, I have gone to my pastor. I have wondered how I could know for years. And she said, you know, that I just want to thank you, and I want to thank that preacher that preached, and I want to thank your wife who showed me how I can know, because she said, now I know that I know that I'm saved. Yeah. See, that's the practical application of the doctrine of heaven. You can hear all about how wonderful it is, but it's not going to do you any good unless you're saved. You'll not be a part of it.
That's right.
You need to know Jesus as your Savior. Oh, I tell you, if you don't know him, that's what God wants you to do in this year of 2019. He wants you to know what God wants you to know. God wants you to know you're saved. And he wants you to know it. That's why you're here. That's why he brought you here. That's why he kept you alive to come here this morning, say, because he wants you to know that you're going to heaven for all eternity. So that's the practical application of doctrine of heaven for you who do not know the Lord as your Savior. He wants you to know it. But secondly, and this is primarily what this verse of Scripture is talking about, okay? We're going to look at what God wants practically every Christian to do in 2019. What every Christian practically to apply the doctrine of heaven, what Jesus wants you to do in 2019, okay? What he wants you to do. Practically applying the doctrine of heaven to your life. And how do you practically apply the doctrine of heaven to your life in 2019? Here's what you do. You do what Jesus says to do here in this passage. Jesus is saying that what you and I need to do is to live a life that is saying, loud and clear, we're living to lay up treasure in heaven. That's what Jesus wants you to do in 2019. That's how he wants us to apply the doctrine of heaven to our life. Say, I mean, if you're not living to lay up treasure, if that's not your priority, if that's not the major reason why you're existing, to lay up treasure in heaven, you don't even know what the Christian life is about. You've never even got into what the Christian life's all about. The Christian life is all about laying up treasure in heaven. That's what it's about. I'm not talking about being a Christian. That's not how you get to be a Christian. You get to be a Christian by receiving a gift. That gift is Jesus. It's eternal life. You just receive him and you get eternal life. It's so simple that people stumble over it. It's so plain. It's so clear. It's not what you do. It's what he does for you when you come to him as a lost sinner. So we're not talking about getting to heaven. We're talking about people who are on their way to heaven. That's you and me. Most of us here. We are people who have been saved. Our name is in the book of life. But you know something? A lot of us are not practically applying the doctrine of heaven to our living. And how do you apply the doctrine of heaven to your living? You say, Lord, I'm going to live a life that says loud and clear to my kids, says loud and clear to my husband, loud and clear to my wife, loud and clear to my friends, to my relatives, to my neighbors, that I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. You know, when you got parents who are living that way, you're going to see young people of those parents probably go into full-time service. You know, I really think there's the reason why there's so few young people going to full-time service anymore is because there are very few parents who are living a life that says, I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. See? You get moms and dads living that way, I'll tell you what, we're going to see a lot more churches started. We're going to see a lot more missionaries going out. When you get people living like that. Mom and dad's living that way. Say, oh, I'll tell you something. You say, preacher, I rejoice I'm going to heaven. Man, I rejoice that my name's in the book of life. I'm saved and going to heaven. Hey, that's wonderful, but that's not the practical application of the doctrine of heaven to your life as a Christian. That's not it. Say, what is it? It's saying, I want to do what Jesus says do here. Jesus says to lay up treasure in heaven. He says that's why he wants us to live. That's why he left us here after we got saved, to live a life that's saying, I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. You see, there's two ways you can live your life as a Christian after you get saved. You can live your life to lay up treasure on this earth. He says that there in Matthew chapter 6. You can live to lay up treasures on this earth. Now, if you choose to do that, Christian, two things you better realize. Number one, you better realize, that everything in this life will deteriorate and end up as junk. Everything. It's going to deteriorate and end up as junk. I was driving down the road one time, going to a home after church, and I saw this junkyard. And man, there were cars in there. Well, I don't know, I could hardly recognize those cars. You know, the wheels were off, the hood was gone, the mirrors were broken and cracked, and just wrecked up, rust all over the place. Do you know that one day those things were brand new? One day those things were sparkling brand new. Not a bit of rust on them, no dents, I mean no cracked windshields. But you know something? That's the way it is when you live for things this world. It's all going to deteriorate and become junk. Do you know that if you got some junk, I can tell you how you can get rid of it. There's a phone number that you can call. It's called 1-800-GET-JUNK, and they'll just come and get you junk, you know. I mean, I know you try to get rid of it through a garage sale, right? You know, I mean, you try to get rid of all your junk. But you know, I tell you something. Do you want to live for junk? Do you want to get to heaven and have nothing but junk? To lay at Jesus' feet, I don't know about you, but I'm too thankful that he saved my soul. You know, I don't want to go to heaven and lay junk at Jesus' feet. I don't want to lay nothing but waste ashes at Jesus' feet, you know. I don't know about you. But you know, if you live for the things of the world, you live to lay up treasure of this earth. The second thing you need to know is this, that you're going to leave it behind, all of it, when you die. You leave everything behind. My wife went to be the Lord 3 years ago. I got all her dress. I got all of her jewelry. I got everything. She didn't take one thing materially out of this world. She left all her furniture. She left everything. And you will too, my friend. You will too. You'll leave it all behind. But there's another way you can live. And this way Jesus wants you to live. He wants you to live saying, I'm living to lay up treasures in heaven. That's what my life's all about. That's my priority. That is the thing. Not that you don't get a house. Not that you don't have a car. Not that you don't get furniture. Nothing wrong with those things. But they ought not to be the priority of your life. The priority of your life. Not where the emphasis is in your life is to lay up treasures in heaven. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about money, isn't he? He's talking about money. Treasure. That's money. You see, you know, money's a thing that is really, really important. It is. I mean, you know, you have to have money to buy clothes and food and so forth. But money never buys happiness. And you know, the great things of life, money cannot touch. Peace, joy. It cannot do that at all. It cannot give you peace. It cannot give you joy. It cannot give you love. Money can't love you. All that money in this world can never love you. Oh, I tell you something. money was given to us as Christians, not just to fulfill all our material needs and so on and get and meet those needs. Money was given to us as Christians to lay up treasure in heaven. See, when you get saved, you get a bank account in heaven. When you get saved, you got a bank account established. Now, some of you got a bank account down here. And you know your bank account is very important, isn't it? But see, you got a bank account in heaven. You're saved. And, you know, you're putting into that bank account every day. You're going to be making deposits in that bank account in heaven. There was a man by the, he was a member of a church, and the pastor tells a story. This is a true story. This man was, he knew the Lord. And every time the offering plate was passed, he would look at the offering and he'd say these words out loud. Now, he didn't really shout it out or anything, but he'd just speak it out. And people around him could hear what he's saying. He'd say, as he put that money on the plate, I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in heaven. He put that money in there, I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in heaven. I wonder if that would change the way people give to, in the offering, if they would at least think that. I'll see you in heaven, you know. See, that guy knew what this verse is all about. He was practically applying the Word of God. See, the devil doesn't want you to apply God's Word to your life. He doesn't want you to make it practical and applicable to your life. God's Word is very practical. And you know, so many of God's people, the devil doesn't care how much Bible you know or hear or memorize. He just doesn't want you to apply it. He doesn't want you to have it color your thinking and color your life. He doesn't want you to do that. And so this guy was taking this verse of scripture practically. He's laying up in heaven. He'd say, I'll see you in heaven. Well, people would see him saying something to offering, and they thought he'd kind of flipped his lid. He'd gone nuts. He's gone senile or something. And so some of them started sitting around him so they could hear what he's saying, or you know, and they sat around. That's what he's saying. I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in heaven. Well, that man died and went to be with Jesus. His pastor had the funeral. And the pastor said, you know, many of you probably know that this man took Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21 literally. That's the way God wants you to take the Bible literally, you know. You don't spiritualize the Bible. You take it literally, you know. And God's word, you know, sometimes speaks figuratively. For instance, he said, I'm the door. Well, we know he's not a door, an actual door, but he's saying, I'm like a door. I can let people into heaven or I can keep them out, say. And so that's the door. But Jesus says, he wants us to lay up treasures in heaven. And this guy took it literally. And the pastor kind of embellished it a little bit. And he said, I suppose this could have happened when this man got to heaven. This man said, I'll see you in heaven, you know, and he died, went to be the Lord. He said, I can see him walking down the streets of gold, and probably someone come up to him and said, you know, I just want to thank you, sir, that you gave to your local church. Your finances, and I just want to thank you because, you know, you gave, the lights were able to be on in the building, and the water could be paid for, and the church loan could be paid for, and I just want to thank you because if you hadn't given, maybe the church wouldn't have been open. And he said, because the lights are on one Sunday night, I came into your church, and you know, I heard the Word of God preached by the preacher, and down the aisle I came and I got saved. I just want to thank you, sir, that you gave to your local church. And the preacher goes on and said, I suppose, you know, this man got to heaven. It may have been that he's walking down the streets of gold and someone came up and said, you know, I just want to thank you, sir, that you gave your local church because, you know, you gave your local church, you know, you could pay the pastor a good salary so he could have a decent car that would run and be dependable. And he said, you know, and put gas in the car. And he said, because you did that, that pastor was out knocking on doors and he was one day in my area and he knocked on my door and he said, hey, I'm out in the area just visiting folks. I'd like to show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Oh, you can't know that, I said. Yeah, the preacher said, yes, you can. Can I show it to you? And he said, sure. And he came in and showed me how I could, and I got saved. And he said, I just want to thank you that you gave your local church so that the pastor didn't have to have a job to support him. And he had time to go out and knock on doors. Just want to thank you for that. The preacher's preaching away. He says, you know, He says, I suppose when that man got to heaven, I can imagine that maybe he's walking down the streets of gold and someone came up and said, you know, I just want to thank you that you gave to your local church. And he said, because you gave to your local church, you know, your finances, he said, you know what, that church is able to have some missionaries. And one day a missionary came over to where I live. He said, I live way up in the mountains. And one day that missionary trekked way up in the mountains and he went into that village where I lived and he had a little Bible study and he preached the gospel and I got saved. And I just want to thank you that you gave to your local church, because if you hadn't, that missionary would never have been able to come. Are you practically applying the doctrine of heaven to your life? It's not just, oh, praise God, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to a place where there is no death, there is no disease, there's no war, there's no... That's not practically applying the doctrine of heaven. That's just rejoicing that you're going there. Practically applying the doctrine of heaven is saying, I'm going to live my life for the main priority and the main purpose to lay up treasures in heaven. That's how you practically apply the doctrine of heaven to your life. There was a guy by the name of Eddie Rickenbacker. Some of you World War II people might remember him. He was a military hero in World War II. He was a pilot. He was on a mission, a bombing mission, and they complete their mission. They're on their way back, and however, they had burned a lot more fuel than they realized they were going to, and stayed perhaps longer than they should have. And on the way back, Eddie Rickenbacker realized that they didn't have enough fuel and they had to lighten the plane if they're going to even make it back. So he ordered his guys, he said, listen, throw everything out that we don't need. I mean, get rid of everything that's not a necessity. Throw it out of the plane. Maybe we'll be able to have enough fuel to get back to the base. But they didn't have enough fuel even after doing that. And that plane crashed the Pacific Ocean. In 21 days, Eddie Rickenbacker was floating around on the ocean. Just with nothing, he's floating around. Louis Zamperini broke his record. Some of you know Louis Zamperini. He was, 40-some days. But Eddie Rickenbacker was floating around. He said, you know, he would go around speaking after the war was over. Miraculously, he was rescued. But he would go around speaking. He was much in demand as a war hero. And he'd go around speaking, and Eddie Rickenbacker had gotten saved. He had received Christ as Savior. And Eddie Rickenbacker said when he was floating around out there in that ocean, he said, I realized what life is all about. He said, I realized when I die, I can't take anything with me of my earthly possessions. He said, since that time, he said, I've been living a life that says I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. As he would come to the end of his speaking engagements, he would give this poem. He always gave this poem. And this is the poem that he would end his speaking engagements with. Here's what it says. Out of this life I shall never take. Things of silver and gold I make. All that I cherish and hoard away after I leave on earth must stay. Though I call it mine and boast its worth, I must give it up when I quit the earth. All that I gather, all that I keep, I just leave behind when I fall asleep. I wonder often just what I shall own in that other life when I pass alone. What Jesus shall find and what he shall see in my soul that answers the call for me. Shall the great judge learn that when I am through, my life has gotten riches too. My life has gotten riches too. Or will it be at last to find that all that I worked for, I left behind? Listen, if I'm born again, and if you're born again, the practical application of that great doctrine to your life is not, oh, great, I'm going to heaven, no sickness, no death, no sorrow, no tears, no war, no bloodshed. No, that's not the practical application of it. The practical application is manifested in the way you live. You see, Christian, it doesn't matter how you live after you get saved. If you live a half-hearted Christian life, you're going to have a half-hearted heaven. It doesn't keep you out of heaven. But you can go to heaven like the Bible talks about. Some people are going to go there by fire, saved by fire. Their whole life goes up in smoke. Why? They just live for the world. They didn't live a life that says, I'm living to lay up treasure. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:11 that we can have an abundant entrance into heaven. How do you have an abundant entrance? You live a life that says, I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. That's how you can have abundant entrance. See? Oh, you say, preacher, you're saying here that all Christians aren't going to be alike in heaven. You got it right. All Christians aren't going to be alike. You see, it doesn't matter how you live. If all Christians are going to be alike in heaven, why did Jesus give this command here? Don't lay up. And he's given it to saved people. People who are on their way to heaven. People who have trusted Christ. He says, don't lay up treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And thieves do not break through and steal. Are you saying, preacher, is the only way to lay up treasure in heaven by giving money? Oh, no. But if it doesn't start there, it probably won't go too far anywhere else. If it doesn't start there, you see. But you can lay up treasure in heaven, not just by giving money, by coming to church with the right attitude, because you love the Lord. See, what we do for the Lord is very important. Why we do what we do for the Lord is more important. What's your motive? Are you doing things, Lord, to get to heaven? My friend, you'll never get there because you can do everything. I mean, you can come to church, sleep in this church. You can get baptized. You can go through all the rituals, but you'll never get to heaven. If you're doing it to get to heaven, you'll never get there. You'll have no treasure at all because you're not going to even be in heaven. But if you're saved, you know what? You can have an abundant entrance. And as you obey God's word, you know, like when you get baptized, when you join the church, a good Bible church, you know, that's laying up treasure. When you forgive somebody that, you know, has wronged you, that's laying up treasure. When you go out soul winning, when you give out a gospel tract, you're laying up treasure in heaven. When you serve the Lord, when you tithe, you're laying up treasure. You know, when you teach that social class, when you drive that bus, you're laying up treasure in heaven. You say, preacher, I don't have any time for that kind of stuff. Well, make time for it. You see, that's the practical application of the doctrine of heaven. You make time for things that are eternal. You make time for living for eternity. That's what Jesus wants you to do in 2019. He wants you to make more time for living for eternity in your life. Less time for you. Less time for self. More time for Jesus. That's what he wants. That's what he wants you to do in 2019. To live a life that says, I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. That's what he wants you to do. You know, when my wife went to be with the Lord, and forgive me for talking about her, I'm still deeply remember so much. But, you know, when she went to meet the Lord, she was laying in the trailer where we had lived for a long time. And I had a young lady come over, and she would spell me a little bit so I could go out and get a little bit of relief from the pressure of all. And she'd be there for an hour. She was a nurse, and so she was really, really good. And I asked her one day, I said, her name was Lydia. I said, Lydia, did my wife ever do anything that was just stood out to you as being something really unique? And she says, oh, yes. I said, well, tell me about it. She said, you know, one day after you'd gone, she was laying there, and she just all of a sudden raised her hand like this. Big smile on her face. Big smile. And said, Lord, I'm ready. If you want to take me, I'm ready. And then she put her hand and she hugged herself like this. I think Jesus was hugging her, and she just responding, you know. And she was just hugging her. It looked like she was hugging herself, but she was really, I think, hugging Jesus. And then she went up, her hand went up in the air again like that. And she said, I'm ready, Lord. If you want to take me, big smile on her face. I mean, she's probably in pain, but big smile on her face. And then the third time her hand went up. I'm ready, Lord. Anytime you want to take me. And you know what? You know, my wife was ready. That's a big word, ready. Are you ready if you were to die today? Are you ready? Are you ready if Jesus were to come today? He could. Are you ready? Paul said, I am ready. Can you say that? I am ready. You know what? My wife could say in the last few hours of her life, she was ready. She was ready. Do you know why? She practically applied the doctrine of heaven to her. Number one, she knew what God wanted her to know. That's practically applying the doctrine of heaven to you, to your heart. You say, you know what God wants you. You know you're going to heaven. Is that hope, think, maybe? How can you smile when you hope? You think, maybe. How can you have any confidence about this thing called death? If you don't know, my wife practically applied the doctrine of heaven to her soul, and she was saved. And you know what? She was ready because she practically applied the doctrine of heaven to her life. She lived a life that said, I am living to lay up treasure in heaven. What's that mean? Let me put it down, perhaps where you can get a hold of it. She's living for eternity. See, laying up treasure in heaven is living for eternity. And what Jesus wants you and I to do in 2019, more than any year of our life, is to say, I'm going to live for eternity. Amen. I'm going to make that my priority this year. In 2019, it is going to be the priority of my life. Do you need to make it priority in your life? Do you need to do that? Do you need to commit yourself anew and afresh to living for eternity? Do you? I hope you will. That's the only way to be ready.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,